You know how many people I've talked to that said, you know, I want to follow God, I'm just not ready? Why? Well, if I give my life to God, he's going to like, I got there's all kinds of stuff I can't do. I got a lot of partying in my system still.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Straight Talk. Welcome to our program. My name is Mark Jobe, and it's great to be with you once again this evening. I hope you're doing well. I know that some of you may be struggling with your faith right now. I'm aware that every time that I teach or preach or minister the word, that there's some that are under a major spiritual attack. You know, the scripture tells us that we should not act like this is a strange thing when we're facing trials or going through a difficult time. And I just want to remind you that we are in a battle. It is a spiritual battle. And I want to remind you that we do not win this battle with the weapons of our own flesh, but we win this battle through spiritual weapons. And part of those weapons that we use are the Word of God, which is compared to a sword in Scripture. Faith is our shield. The Word of God is our sword. And so today, as you listen to the Word of God, I hope that your sword is getting sharpened, and I hope that your shield is being raised. And if you're under attack today, then welcome to the spiritual battle that thousands of people right now, just like you, are facing, fighting for their faith, fighting for their family, fighting for their destiny, battling to fulfill the mission of God in their life. So I hope you're encouraged this evening. I want you to get ready and prepare your heart to listen to today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Today we continue on with Pastor Mark's series called Out of Control, and this is the second half of his message called The Power of Yielding Your Right of Way. Let's get right into the message. Our text continues to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's Pastor Mark.
I know I'm yielding to God when my mission and my calling drive my life and decisions more than my rights. Listen, can I give you a really, really big important point here, a flash point? You need to understand this. You need to grasp this. As long as you are the center of your life, you have all kinds of rights, and you can do whatever you want with your life. You can dress the way you want. You can talk the way you want. You can live where you want. You can buy the car you want. You can marry the person you want. You can date whoever you want. You can spend your leisure time however you want to spend your leisure time. You can spend your money however you want to spend your money, because all that is your decision and you have the right and it's in your power to do so if your life was yours. Let me give you a big flash point. The moment you came to Jesus and you bowed your knee and you said, Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. Come wash me, cleanse me, and take a hold of my life. My life is no longer mine. It belongs to you. The moment that you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, listen to me well, you lost the right to run your life. Your life no longer belongs to you. Your life now belongs to God. And so it's not whatever you want to do. It's what does God want me to do? How does God want me to dress? How does God want me to spend my money? Where does God want me to live? What does God want me to drive? Where does God want me to work? Where does God want me to study? Who does God want me to date? How does God want me to run my marriage? How does God want me to parent? Because your life is no longer yours. You gave up your life. Now, this isn't a very popular message. It's not an easy truth to swallow. Yeah, I gave up all my rights. Whoa. I don't want to sign up for that. Man, I want to do what I want to do. And I want God to be a part of my life, but hey, I don't want God to run my life. Do you know how many people I've talked to that said, you know, I want to follow God, I'm just not ready? Why? well, if I give my life to God, he's going to like, I got there's all kinds of stuff I can't do. I got a lot of partying in my system still. Once I get it like all out of my system, and I'm 55, settled a couple kids, and you know, I'm a little bit more, then I'll sign up for God. But right now I have a lot of wild oats, I got a lot in my system, and if I come to God, I feel like, oh, he's going to tie up my hands, I can't do this, I can't do that. And why? Because you think that your life is yours. Listen, the moment, here it is, the moment you give yourself over to God, then you become God's. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is he's saying that our life no longer is ours. And so therefore, whatever I do, I have to do in line with what Jesus wants. And so I don't just say anymore, hey, I think I'm going to move to San Diego. Why? The weather's nice. I just want to tan all year round. Weather's nice, and I want to go see Shamu at SeaWorld. Hey, nothing wrong with moving to San Diego, but put the pause button a second. Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God if your spiritual life is going to be better in San Diego? Have you asked God if you're going to be able to accomplish more for his kingdom in San Diego? I know you're going to get a better tan in San Diego, but I'm not asking about your tan. I'm asking about your life and your life's mission and your life's purpose. Because if your life mission and purpose isn't bigger and better and stronger for God, then you need to put it on pause and say, I'm not sure I should go to San Diego. Are you tracking with me? This is huge. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is that we abdicate the lordship of our life and we give it to God. Now let me just say this as well. Whatever is Lord of your life, or whoever is Lord of your life, is what you will make your decisions based upon. Listen, if your boyfriend is the God of your life, then you'll dress the way your boyfriend wants. You'll talk the way he wants you to talk. You'll have the values that he wants you to have. You'll do what he wants you to do. You'll think the way he wants you to think. You'll behave. Your life will all be all about, you'll live where he wants you to live. You'll work where he wants you to work. Why? Because your boyfriend is the God of your life. If money's the God of your life will revolve around, you'll constantly asking yourself this question, but can I make more money? How does it affect my pocketbook? And so you'll live in a way that helps you make more money. You'll work in a place that helps you make more money. Whether it's honest or dishonest, the big question is, can I make money and get away with it? Because everything you do will be about money, 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 money. And if having kids takes away from that, well, I don't want to have kids because they cost a lot of money, so let's not have kids. And if I get married and, you know, the wedding's expensive, I got to buy her a ring, and maybe, well, let's not get married because, you know, it costs too much. And so whatever I do will be about the money if money is the God of my life. If my career is the God of my life, then everything I do will revolve around, does it help my career get better? It's about my career and whether I can go up the ladder of my career. If myself is the God of my life, then everything I do is about me. I'll ask myself, well, do they meet my needs? Well, what do I get out of it? Well, if I go there, am I going to get something? If I'm in this relationship, what am I going to get out of it? And it'll all be about me. Whatever is the center of your life will dictate the way you make decisions and the values you have in your life. Listen, if God is the Lord of your life, then every decision you make and all the values in your life will revolve around God and the kingdom of God. And Paul says this. Paul says, when I preach the gospel, I can't boast, for I'm compelled to preach it. You know, I don't always like to tell people I'm a pastor because, you know, I'm at my son's soccer coaching game, or I'm at the grocery store, or I'm at the gym or whatever. And here's what I've discovered. When people find out I'm a pastor, they get all weird around me. They get all tense. So they'll be acting real normal, talking, yeah, what's up, dude, and talking this and that and that. And then if they say, well, so what do you do? Well, I'm a minister. Like, I'm a minister? Like a priest kind of minister? Yeah, and here's my kid. And you're a priest and you have a kid? You know, they get all tight. I notice it. As soon as people find out I'm a pastor, they don't know how to act. Like, we're all relaxed, dude, the bears, this and that. And then they get all saying, excuse my French, and they just don't know what to do. So I don't always go up and say, hi, my name is Mark, I'm a pastor, because they get all, like, around me. And here's what I've discovered. Here's what I've discovered over the years. And here's what I want you to understand. I tell my kids this, and I want you to understand this. Listen, I preach the gospel and the gospel message of Jesus Christ, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a follower of Jesus. Listen, I happen to be a pastor so I can be at this full time. But if I were a truck driver, or if I were working downtown at an office, or if I were a teacher, whatever other career path that I would be on, I would still preach the gospel because I am compelled to do this because what Jesus has done in my life. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a follower of Jesus and because this message is so powerful, because this news is so great, because this life-transforming message can change people, I'm compelled to do it. And once in a while when I run into people and they find out a pastor, they're all tongue-tied, don't know what to do, they say, so how'd you get into that career? Career? You see, you don't understand. It's not a career. It's not like in high school I took an assessment and they said, well, let's see, some people are good at business and public relations. I think you're like, you need to pursue a religious, clergy-driven type of career. No, that's not the way it works. This is not a career. This is a calling. It's a calling that I'm compelled to tell people about Jesus. And listen, if I weren't a pastor, I'd still be telling people about Jesus. And if I weren't full-time or a pastor or ordained, I'd still be telling people about Jesus because this is not about the title that I have. This is not about what I do full-time. This is about the compelling drive of letting people know about Jesus because he has done so many things. And that's what Paul is saying. Listen, I am compelled to tell people about Jesus. I have to tell people about Jesus because it's so much inside of me. And I hope you sense and feel that at times in your life, in your spirit. And I hope you don't sit back and say, well, I hope Pastor Mark really tells them because that's his job to tell people about Jesus. I hope that you have a relationship with Jesus that makes you feel like, I got to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell people about Jesus. He's so important. He's done so much. I want other people to know about him. I hope that's part of your life as well. And that's what Paul is saying.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called The Power of Yielding Your Right of Way, which is from our current series called Out of Control. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and our message is called The Power of Yielding Your Right of Way.
I know I'm yielding to God when I give up my preferences for the sake of reaching people more effectively. I know I'm yielding to God when I give up my preferences for the sake of reaching people more effectively. And I'll close with this passage of scripture here. Let me explain it to you. This is found in verses 19 through 23. And I hope you really listen because this is so powerful. The Apostle Paul says, though I am free and belong to no man. I hope everybody here really appreciates the freedom that you have. Though I am free and belong to no man, listen, I make myself a slave to everyone. Hold on, time out, you what? Paul says, I make myself a slave even though I'm free. Well, why would you do that, Paul? To win as many as possible. Look what he says in verse 20. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law. Verse 22, to the weak, I become weak to win the weak. Listen to what he says. Powerful verse. Mark it in your Bible. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I may save some. Paul says, I become all things to all men so that by all possible means I may win some. Do you know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying this. I have given or set aside my personal preferences because my ultimate goal is that people would come to know the Jesus I have come to know. And so to the Jews, Timothy, Paul's assistant, Timothy, who was probably in his 30s, Paul said, I want you to come with me and minister to the Jews. And he said, okay, let's do that. Timothy's father was a Gentile. And so Paul said, hey, guess what, Timothy? There's one thing I'm going to ask you to do. What, Paul? Anything you want. You got to get circumcised. And he's a 30-year-old man. A baby is one thing. 30-year-old man, circumcised. Well, Paul, I don't know about that, Paul. But you know why he did it? Because all of the Jews were circumcised. In order to minister to the Jews, they would ask, who's this uncircumcised guy? So Timothy got circumcised, not because he had to, but because he could minister better to the Jews if he was circumcised. All the men in here went, ouch. What Paul was saying is, I become all things to all people in order that I may win some. One of the best illustrations I have for this is 10 years ago, we were given a building in the Lakeview neighborhood. There was a congregation of about 30 older people that had the building. One of the guys was Chuck McWhorter. He had been there for over 40 years. He was there before I was born. He had been the chairman of the board, and he called me up and he said, we're not reaching people. We can't reach them. The neighborhood has changed. It's gentrified. We're 30 older people. They asked me to preach. I went there. The song leader was going like this and had organ music going on the side. Beautiful people singing the hymns, love Jesus, but we're not connecting with any people. And I said to him, he said, we want New Life to come up and reach people in this neighborhood. I said, I'm not sure, Chuck, we want to do that. He said, why not? I said, because your culture's so different. We're going to bring drums and guitars and all these older people are going to get offended. And I don't know if I want to do that. And you know what he said to me? He said, listen, it's not about us. It's about reaching the people outside of these walls. So when we started having our services and a bunch of young people were coming and the place was packed out and the young people were there, Chuck's in the back. He's got tears in his eyes saying, I love this. I love seeing all these people here, these people that are not Christian and are coming to know the Lord. I'm so happy. I said, how do you like the preaching? It's great. I said, how do you like the music? Can't stand it. Can't stand it. It's too loud. I don't know any of the songs. I'm used to the hymns. But he said to me, listen, it's not about me. I like the hymns, he said. But if this music connects more with the people outside of these walls, and if they can relate to it more, then so be it, because it's not really about what I like or don't like. It's about reaching people for Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I'll take a CD of my hymns and I'll put it in my car after service and I'll sing to the old hymns. But really what I want, this is about reaching people for Jesus. And that is exactly the attitude he's talking about. What Chuck, who's 77 years old, was telling me is, listen, I'll set aside my personal preferences if they get in the way of reaching people for Christ, because it's not about what I want, it's not about what I like, it's about helping people come to Jesus. And if this music helps people come to Jesus better, then let's do this music. Do you understand that? I run into people once in a while, they say, well, I like it this way. Well, the reason we do it like that way is that people in the world can't understand. Yeah, I like it this way. Listen, it's not about you. It's about the mission and the cause of Christ. A lot of the things we do and the way we do things is that we want people that don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. That's why in a service like this, I try to break things down and explain things, because I want someone that's never been to church, has no church background, to be able to come to this place and we can get in the Bible, but they can also understand what we're saying. Have you ever been to a church and walked down and said, I have no idea what they're talking about? Because we use all this religious lingo that's almost encoded. And the blood of Jesus Christ and the apocalypse and eschatology and soteriology and pneumonology and dispensationalism. And we're like, like going to a doctor and they're using all these medical terms. And some of you that have been raised in Christianity, you're okay with that. But listen, most people that come off the street that haven't been raised in church, those terminology mean nothing to them except just hard to understand, confusing, complicated, means nothing to me. Listen, we want to be a church that really teaches the Word of God, but I want to do it in such a way that someone that's never been to church can walk in a place and say, hey, I understood what they were saying. I grasp it. They may not agree, but at least they can understand. Why do we do it that way? Doesn't matter what terminology I like to use. It doesn't matter if I know those big words or not. It's not a matter about what I like to do. It's a matter about, are we reaching people for Jesus Christ in a way that they can understand? It's about the cause and mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about our likes or dislikes. It's about the kingdom. It's about the message of the kingdom. It's about what we need to do to try to reach people in a way that they can understand and grasp. And I pray that that will be the heart, that we will become all things to all people, that we can relate to almost anybody who walks in these doors. My prayer is that we be so connected with Jesus Christ and so in touch with the people that we're trying to reach that we can speak in the language and speak in a way that people that are out there understand what we're saying, connect to our message, feel the love of Christ, and listen, that not only dozens, I'm not praying for hundreds, I'm praying for thousands upon thousands of people to come to know Jesus and be changed by his power, be transformed, change neighborhoods and change communities for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask us to stand together. I know this hasn't been an easy message, but whoever told you that the message of the gospel was easy? I know some of you are saying, oh, my toes hurt, Pastor. You've been stepping on my toes, giving up rights and stuff. I don't know. I'm praying that we'll have a mature church. Church that has the gospel of Jesus at its heart. As you close our time together, I want to just pop this question at you. How have you been living lately? Have there been any rights that you have that you're giving up because you know that in giving them up you can serve God better? Or have you been living your way and taking your rights? Because some of you need to be reminded that you told Jesus he would be Lord. And some of you need to release, pry open the rights of your life. What you listen to, where you go, who you talk to, where you live, what you do with your spare time. What is your time? Some of you need to pry open your hand and say, Lord, I gave my life to you a long time ago. I've been clinging to some of my rights, and today, once again, I establish you as Lord. Forgive me, God, for I've been taking rights into my hand that aren't my rights to take, and I've been acting like it's my life when it's really not my life. When it's really your life, I gave my life to you. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then acknowledge he is Lord. It's not your life. You can't do whatever you want with your life.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and his message called The Power of Yielding Your Right of Way. It's from our brand new series called Out of Control. Join us on the next Straight Talk for part 3, Finishing Without Failing. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com, That's PastorMarkJobe.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.